Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning, Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my God!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown!
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the morning. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz, Sean Engel, the Fantasy Prince, producing our show, keeping us flying straight. And, baseball season getting revved up. We've been able to see some live action for the past couple of days. George, how much credence do you put in the stuff that happens in spring training? I mean, we talked about Pete Alonso hitting a home run. Gleyber hit a home run. Scherzer looked good, but gave up a home run. Yoan Moncada started at third. That's something that's interesting to note. But, how much do you use spring training stats in order to, draft your team?
Nah, very little. I don't care about the veterans whatsoever. It's, they'll get their swings in. These
the
guys
kids.
Don't care. Can you hear about the youngsters? Because they might need to put up stats in order to make the team. And guys coming back from injury, certainly want to see them, how they look there. And guys who are in playing time battles. I mean, brought up on yesterday's show with Cam. The Yankees, Greg Bird and Voit. Now, I really was assumed that they'd both play, and it'd be a platoon. Bird goes against righties, Voit goes against lefties. Well, then Cashman came out and said Friday, nope, not happening. Whoever loses this competition likely to start the season at AAA. No, that changes things a bit now, don't it? That's an issue there. Now, I think the Yankees want Bird to win it. I do think they want Bird to win it for a few reasons. One, I mean, Bird has a great swing. I think he thinks too much. He needs to just relax up there and play baseball and stop thinking about everything. But he's got the perfect swing for Yankee Stadium. It's short, it's sweet, he's powerful, he's very strong. I think he's got a great swing there. I think the Yankees also want him to be the man because Sanchez, Judge, Torres, Andujar, I know I've missed somebody here. Stanton, Judge, Torres, Andujar. What do they all have in common?
Tell me. Anyone?
They're all right-handed batters.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What is Bird? Bird is a left-handed batter. This sets up well
Sweet
for Bird because
for Yankee Stadium.
Teams are going to be, jerry-rigging their rotation to start right-handers again, which is unusual because generally you always start left-handers against the Yankees because you want to eliminate the left-handed power at Yankee Stadium. But really, until Didi comes back, the only left-handers they're going to see are Bird and Hicks. And Hicks is switch hitting, nothing you can do about it. Maybe Gardner if he's platooning with Frazier in left field. So you're not going to see too many left-handers. You're going to throw a lot of right-handers to try and combat Stanton, Judge, Sanchez, Torres, combat them somewhat. Or else these guys are going to have a field day up there. So that's why I think the Yankees want Bird to win. I think he's got up to a hot start yesterday. I think he had two hits, RBI. It's game one of spring training. We're probably overreacting here. But got up to a good start yesterday. I think he immediately puts pressure on Voit. All right, I probably did my job. Now you better hit today. Yankees played Tampa Bay today, for anybody who's wondering. And yes, I'll be watching the game. It's on the MLB Network at 1 o'clock. So, I recorded yesterday's game. Let you know what kind of glutton for punishment I am. watched it last night. Anyway, I do watch Well, I don't care. I don't care about the veteran. Torres hitting a home run mean very little to me. God, I'm glad I'm drafting Torres in round 4 anyway, or round 3, whatever it might be. You know, you're drafting him where you would draft him. Nothing's going to change that. But I do want to see players who were hurt from last year, especially guys who, if guys had a wrist injury, I worry about power. You know, any kind of leg injury, you worry about speed. So that sort of thing there. So I will watch those guys. And like I said, anybody who I think is in a battle for playing time, that's important as well. The stats might mean more than listening to any of the managers or a GM say anything. You know, it's my favorite line. When can you tell a coach is lying? When his lips move. You don't know who's telling the truth. You just don't. You're not going to get too many coaches that are going to tell you the truth. You're just not. So it's tough to rely on what they say. You know, this guy's great. You know, we all know everyone's in the greatest shape of their life right now. They're all going to hit 600 home runs this year and steal 700 bases. You know, everyone's going goo-goo because apparently the manager of the Nationals, Martinez, told Trey Turner, we want you to steal twice as much.
Granted,
if he were to do that, he probably becomes a third overall pick now. He's going to steal 80 bases. He'll win that category all by himself. Now no one runs anymore. And he's a good hitter anyway.
I wish he hadn't.
He would probably
said that,
become
yeah.
a third pick. He's a first-round
pick. You know why? Yeah, I know, but I was hoping maybe he'd fall to me at number 12 overall.
He wasn't falling 12. You know, that didn't matter. Don't worry about that. He wasn't falling 12. All right, so... I've
seen him go 11.
But that's what I mean by a manager talking. I'm sure he wants to, and I'm sure Trey Turner, it's February 24th, I'm going to steal bases. And then by, June, you're a little tired. You know, you realize, I don't need to run right now. We're winning 4-1. I'm not going to run. That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's tough to keep that up all year long. It's the mindset. It's different when Ricky Henderson, Vince Coleman, all those guys back in the 80s play where you ran all the time. Different game now. Once again, managers and general managers specifically don't want to give up an out. So unless you're successful at it. Right. It's the saber metrics. It's Billy Bean. Unless you're successful at an 80% plus clip, they generally don't want you to run.
Agreed. So we'll see what happens. I still want Trey to fall to me at 12. I know it's not going to happen, but we'll see what happens.
I want Trout to fall to me at 15, but I'm not relying on it.
Yeah, and I want Santa Claus to bring me a Ferrari, put it in my driveway. I don't think that's going to happen either.
Yeah, but Bo wanted too.
Yeah, right?
Sure.
Just like in the commercials. Marwin Gonzalez.
A full tank of gas.
Right. Absolutely. Swiss Army knife kind of guy, right? I've heard him described as that. He could play 7 different positions per NFBC eligibility. First base, second base, shortstop, outfield. ADP 230 signs a 2-year, $21 million deal with the Twins. Actually, at Minute Maid Field, it's only 58 at-bats, but it's had some good success there with a 345, 397, 517 triple slash. So, depending on how many at-bats this guy gets, his 200, his 162-game average, 15 homers and 8 stolen bases, but you draft him real late in leagues and just move him all over the place. Kind of a fail safe for injuries and whatnot.
Gonzalez is your new Zobrist. That's where he play. He can play everywhere. I'm curious to where he's going to play.
Right.
For Minnesota. Is he going to be, once again, is he the equivalent of the Mets' Jed Lowry, the Yankees' DJ LeMahieu? Is he not going to have a position, going to give everybody a rest all every now and then? Or is he going to mainly play, first base, but when everybody else needs a rest, we'll move him around, that sort of thing? Because I want to draft the guy. Once again, this is a good player. This is a good player. So he deserves a full-time role here. What I'm trying to say is, he deserves 140 games, 150 games here. And by that, I don't mean 30 games with one at-bat because he came in late. No, I mean he deserves a start, 140, 150 games. Good player. But what is it going to be? Yeah, because he can play first, second, short, third, outfield. Really, the only thing he can't do is catch and pitch. So, I'm as curious as anybody else here. Yeah, where he qualifies in your league will depend upon your league rules here, but it'll be at most positions. But I still need, before I can tell you where in a draft, I need to know how often he's going to play. We don't know that yet. He just signed this week. This is what's crazy about this. We haven't had enough information yet. I like Gonzalez. I do want to draft him. But right now, I would be drafting him as a bench guy. not as a starter anywhere. Maybe, maybe a middle infielder.
Yeah, good point. And another guy, kind of a fringe player, Josh Harrison signs a one-year, $2 million deal. You know, that this deal, they're saying, is going to allow the Tigers to shift Nico Goodrum from the second base position to kind of like a super utility role, where he did real well last year. Goodrum did. Goodrum is like a, you know, I mean, if he could get that batting average a little over 250, he could give you like, I don't know, maybe 12 to 15 home runs, another 12 to 15 stolen bases. But, you know, Harrison, what do you think about his possibilities? He was kind of like a guy that would hit for decent average, right? Give you, you know, moderate home runs. We're talking, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, 15 or so home runs, and give you like maybe, you know, I don't know, somewhere around 12 to 15 stolen bases as well. Do you think he still has some value? I mean, just basically, he's yeah, he's been around forever, but 31 years old.
Well, I think with Harrison and it's going to come down to how big your league is. 10-team league, no. 12-team league, even that's, I think, fringy. 15-team league, sure. You know, obviously we need more players here. I mean, you look at his last couple of years. 2016 seems to be in 2017, I'm sorry, seems to be an outlier. He had 16 home runs, the most in his career. Other than that, he's had 16 home runs the other three seasons combined, 15, 16, and 18. His average looks like, all right, 250, once again, maybe in a bad year last year, where his average won't hurt you. But remember, he's going to a new team, new park, new league. You know, so he's got to learn new pitchers. That always scares me. I don't see why I need to take the risk here. I think what you're hoping for here is the stolen bases. You know, so once again, anybody who steals double digits has value right about now.
Yeah.
And he only had three last year, but generally the 4 years before that, 18, 10, 19, 12. That's 31. That's averaging 15 a year. You know, you'll sign up at 15. With an average that won't hurt you, a middle infielder, if you didn't draft steals, there you go. You know, if you can get that 15. But Detroit's a bad team. They're another team. They might give them the green light because, hey, we got nothing to lose here. We need to get runs in somehow, especially if they end up trading Castellanos. You know, Cabrera's not going anywhere. But if they trade Castellanos, that offense is going to be stagnant and really with nothing there.
Yes.
And they know that. They've already told us this year in Detroit that you know, we're not spending money again until 2022. They know they're going to rebuild. They're a tanking team. All right, so that's what's going on there. They're going to want their top draft picks here. So I'm not all that excited for Harrison. I mean, I think he's a guy for me in 12-team leagues. Nah, close to a last-round pick. Last-round pick, put him on my bench, see what happens. You know, we all need backups, infielders, middle infielders, and I'd be hoping for the stolen bases. That's really what I'm hoping for there. That's the only reason I'd be drafting him. I don't think he helps me in any other category, but if he does get the green light, if he can steal 12 to 15 bases, I would take that.
Yeah, you're right. Here's another guy that I don't think has much fantasy value, but you know, every time you throw dirt on him, he seems to come back. But I'll just mention Irvin Santana signed a minor league deal with the White Sox, $4.3 million base salary if he makes the team. 71 innings pitched at White Sox U.S. Cellular Field, 3.04 ERA, 1.14 WHIP. So had a bad year last year, dealt with a lot of finger injuries, a lot. I mean, dealing with the multiple, we'll say. Pitched just over 24 innings last season. So 35 years old. Seems to be, I guess, like a serviceable starter when healthy, but just somebody, I guess, maybe to watch to see how he pitches in spring training. Because, like I said, every time you write this guy off, he seems to come back for somehow.
There are always players like that, right? That you surprised can get the job done.
Come back in the day.
Yeah, right. Because you're writing him off all the time. Oh, this can't happen again. He got got through last year, you know, and they do. And God bless. And you don't know how they do it, but they do it. And there's more than one. There's a few of these guys. And they generally go lower in drafts because we don't believe in them, or they're waiver wire pickups because we don't believe in them. We assume they are going to fall off a cliff here. And it's I think as fantasy players, we always worry about players hurting us more than the fact they might help us. You know, I think we're pessimistic people. You know, this guy might kill my ERA. This guy might kill my average. You know, because that's the way we look at things. You know, first thing I think of when I think of a player is, okay, what category is going to help me in? How many categories? Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a starting pitcher, well, okay. In a normal 5x5 league, he's not going to get saves. So now he's down to four categories. If he's not a strikeout guy, oh, we're down to three. Oh, he's on a bad team, and when he wins this category, oh, now we're down to ratios. Yeah, that's the way we look at things. We sort of break it down that way, and and that's the value. Sometimes we forget they have other value as well, especially to a major league team. But we're fantasy people, so we care about value as far as it adds to our fantasy teams. So I just always find that funny. It's like when, you know, I think this applies to football more than baseball or hockey for me. But whenever you're watching the games. And the scroll at the bottom comes on of the TV, and they tell you of the other games. Julio Jones had 7 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I'm just doing the math. I'm not even seeing it. I'm just that's 710. That's 11 more points.
Yeah.
18, 2 touchdowns. He had 30 points. That's all I see.
Yeah.
30 points.
Right.
You know, that's all my mind's going with. It's just weird when we do fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's all I care about. I don't care about 7 for 110 and 2 touchdowns. I care about 7, 18, 30. You know, I always find that funny now. That's how my mind works. I'm just adding points. And even in baseball, because my home league's a points league, you know, and that's the league I care about most. So I'm doing the same thing for the baseball. So I went 2 for 4, single double, it's 3 points, home run, 3 RBIs, so that's another 11. All right, I had 14 points tonight. And it's just funny how we look at things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Very good description. I'm the same way, right? You mentioned saves, and I'll just bring them up real quick. Since we were talking about pending free agency, Craig Kimbrell, there was some rumors that said that he was prepared to sit out the season if he can't get a deal. Then his agent quickly reversed that. But what do you think about this Craig Kimbrell situation? I mean, looking for a multi-year deal. I think he was looking for 6 years when the free agency first started. No.
Not only was he looking for 6 years, he wanted more than $100 million. All right, so and it's kind of funny that he wanted this after a year where he didn't look good at the end of last year. He was lousy. Right. I mean, he was almost costing the Red Sox games. You know, so he wasn't pitching very well at all, and all of a sudden he wants a 6-year, $100 million contract. And you do the math, boys and girls, that's $17 million a year that he wanted. Mm-hmm. All right, 6 and 16 is 96, so he wanted $17 million a year. That was never going to happen. Never going to happen. You know, so even if he was great, I don't think it was going to happen. I mean, he was great in 25. But he's not. He's another guy who's got. He's pitched a long time, Kimbrell. You know, close for a long time. He's 30 years old. You know, so he's not young. He'll be he'll be 31 in May. So listen, he'll sign with somebody. But I don't know who right now. Do the Braves go after him? Do the Phillies go after him and make Robertson a setup man? I think that could happen if they sign Harper.
There you go. You heard it here. Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe DeLina, George Kurtz. We'll be back talking a little Clayton Kershaw.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Pretty cool of Sean Engel to bring us back with a song by Boston. Two Yankee fans here hosting Joe Galina and George Kurtz. But, thanks, Sean. What about that wacky story about Robert Kraft there, George? What the heck is he thinking?
Well, let's say.
Well, he's sticking with the.
We had Spygate.
Say it.
Right. Oh, you ruined it. He ruined it for me. Maybe ejaculate.
Oh boy.
You know, right. We had Spygate. Then we had the Flategate. Yeah. And now do we have Tailgate? You know, or do we have ejaculate? You know, I said it on the shows yesterday. They weren't my lines, okay? This is from, I saw them both on Facebook from somebody. But I thought they were great. Absolutely great. Yeah. Tailgate or ejaculate. There's so many jokes going on right now.
Oh, know, my God. All over the place. Yeah.
The owners don't want the players taking a knee during the national anthem, but, you know, prostitutes taking a knee is quite all right. and listen, I know, listen, I'm saying with jokes too. And this is a serious situation. I have no problem with Joe.
Especially
no
with the human trafficking part. Mm-hmm.
Right. I have no problem with prostitution. I don't. I think prostitution should be legal. I do. I think that there are other things we need to worry about than who's giving an orgasm to who. You know, I think it's kind of I think prostitution should be legalized, taxed, tested so everybody's clean and all that sort of stuff, and go on. You know, you move on from there. You know, so that sort of thing. The human trafficking part is the bad part of the story.
Absolutely.
Whatever two willing participants want to do, and they want to exchange money for doing it, I don't have an issue. No, not an issue at all. You know, I go back to the George Carlin joke that, you know, sex is legal, selling is legal. Why isn't selling sex legal? That sort of thing. I'm fine with that. But obviously, in this case, it looks like they weren't willing participants. Right, they were taken from China in some way. We've all heard stories before, and that's the issue. Not that I think Kraft knew anything about this. He probably didn't. You know, I hope he didn't. You know, he probably didn't. So, you know, that's really the issue there. You hope things certainly work out for the women, that they're protected, safe, and they're not just sent back to China, where obviously they want to be in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, that sort of thing. As for Kraft, I mean, let's face it. If this is a regular guy, it's not even a news story. Nobody cares. It's a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it's the owner of the New England Patriots. Now, granted, my God, you're a gazillionaire, a billionaire. You can't do a better thing here than go to a cheap parlor? I mean, come on. Come on. Another little great meme I saw there was, you know, well, I need a little help doing it because I can't do it on my own with 6 Super Bowl rings. Okay, that's good. That's good. Very good. Very funny.
Right.
All right. And then, you know, our own Gabe Morenci, almost immediately after this happened, because Adam Schefter reported that there's a bigger name involved. Now, that doesn't mean it's a sports name, by the way, just that there's a bigger name. But, you know, Gabe puts out that the only bigger names he can think of in the football world would be Goodell or Jerry Jones. And I would agree. But the first thing that went through my head was, oh, my God, a foursome between Goodell, Jones, Kraft, and, you know, some woman. I'm like, oh, God. Did you have to put that image in my head? And please, Joe, for the love of God, for my mental sanity, don't let this video leak. Okay, please.
Oh, please, yeah, I agree with you.
Don't let this video leak. Because you know what? You'll see it. You can say all of it. You'll see it. And I don't think I'll ever be the same. So please. Yeah.
And you won't be able to unsee it. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem. My sanity there. Please. Yeah, please don't let this video leak.
Yeah. You saw a lot of people were circulating a picture of what the prostitute looked like, and it was really Tom Brady in drag. It's a pretty funny picture that I'm sure you'll see circulated on social media. But you saw that picture, right? Yeah. And, you know, the picture of him and Tom Brady kissing, and it's just people just going nuts with this stuff. So, again, it's a serious issue when it comes to the human side of it, you know, with the women and the human trafficking element of it. But, you know, so we just hope that they can be helped. But just more just weird press for the Patriots. But let's get back to
the NFL is pissed. I mean, the NFL is
pissed. Of course.
It's always, and listen, we're all curious because Robert Irsay got 6 games and $500,000 when he had his drug problems. This, like I said, it's a misdemeanor. So, I mean, if not for the drug trafficking, this is really not a big thing. But because the drug trafficking is involved, it looks bad for the NFL again. Owners technically are supposed to be kept to a higher standard than the players. And it's always the freaking Patriots, right? It's always the Patriots or the Cowboys, for that matter. It seems to always be one of those two teams that are causing the problems here. And, you know, the fans already hate Goodell in New England. I think that we've heard that even though New England – this is before this happened, by the way – that even though New England won the Super Bowl, that opening Thursday night game may not be New England. They were talking about that. I don't know why. I didn't hear why that would be. But they were talking about that. I wonder if now this makes that almost, you know, a fait accompli, where it certainly won't be in New England here. But and the other thing that came to my mind was, you know, we heard his lawyers – We categorically deny. Well, it's on video. All right, so good luck with that categorically deny. And you read from the, ESPN had a sports lawyer on and stuff like that, and things you've read online from other high attorneys in the sports world, that there's really only one defense for this. And that defense is, well, unless, if they don't have the money exchange on tape, which they may or may not have, is that, well, it was, you know, two willing participants. We didn't pay.
Right, two adults or whatnot.
She wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I don't know what she actually looks like, but I'm assuming she's a young, pretty Asian woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure she wanted to do whatever she did to you, to a 77-year-old man who's a billionaire, for free.
Mm-hmm.
For free, with nothing. No benefits whatsoever. Yeah, I'll buy that on a jury. Sure. Yeah, you're innocent. All right. Yeah, give me a freaking break. Good luck with that. You know, but that's what they do in this day and age. They'll deny, because you know what? Some of the public will believe it. Because you're denying it, they'll believe what you're saying. Even though, let's face it, another lawyers are another one. When are they lying? Whenever their lips move, almost certainly.
Exactly. But you're right. I mean, people could be convinced of anything. You know, it's just like...
if you say it enough, they'll buy it.
Yeah. I was watching Jimmy Kimmel, like, right after the Super Bowl, and he had his, like, man on the street interviews, and he was asking people on the streets of L.A., so, you know, what'd you do when the Rams won the Super Bowl? And, you know, like, you get these people that were like, oh, it was great. It was pandemonium, you know. I texted my dad to congratulate him because he's a big Rams fan. Oh, and the interviewer goes, oh, can I see the text? He goes, oh, my phone is acting up right now. the battery's dying. Well, what's it on? It's on 60%. But people could be convinced, you know, just because the interviewer said, you know, that the Rams won, even though these people probably all knew, you know, just from you couldn't have avoided it either, you know, posts on your phone or anywhere that the Patriots had won the Super Bowl. But people are gullible, and more people are stupid than you think.
Oh, no, not more than I think. Certainly not more than I think. But you're right. But then again, if you went to my wife and said that, I doubt she knows. If I could ask who won the Super Bowl, she might guess Patriots because she does know the Patriots are always there.
Right.
She does know that. She'd probably guess it. But if you said the Rams won the Super Bowl, she'd probably, all right, maybe the Patriots didn't win this year. I don't think she watched the game. You know, I know she didn't watch the game. I was next to her at my neighbor's house at a party. Actually, I was doing the radio. Mm-hmm. That was great. I was doing radio, doing the scoring updates for us at the top of each hour. And the updates, I'm at going to my neighbors to watch the game. And my wife
went
there,
back
but
and
she
forth,
wasn't
right?
watching the game. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough trip going across the grass. That neighbor's actually moving to Vegas on me. How dare he move to Vegas? Could you take that? Now, once again, we're sports guys. So I'm talking to my wife because my wife's really upset. The guy's a great guy, great family. Mm-hmm. They have two kids that are same ages as my kids. So my kids, they don't know yet. My kids will be devastated when they find out.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not looking forward to that later on today. Yeah, that's rough. Mm-hmm. I said he's a very good friend of mine. But the first thing I think of is like, because we're sports people, I'm like, man, how's he going to get used to it? I mean, he's a Knicks fan, he's a Giants fan, a Yankee fan. How's he going to get used to those games starting at 4 o'clock?
Yeah, that's true. When you think
know,
about
I mean,
it,
if you're working a 9-to-5 job, I mean, by the time you get home, you're missing half of every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you'll be home around 5:30, I assume. Maybe later. You know, maybe later. And that'd be the biggest adjustment for me living out west in the 3-hour time difference is that, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, I own the fan. I mean, so football Sundays are football Sundays. You should be okay there. You're not working. But getting used to the fact that those games start at 4 o'clock, you know, and that all games are generally over now by 10. Right? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's good for a weekend. You still have the weekends, the Friday nights, the Saturday nights, go watch the game, go, and then you go out. But that'd be an adjustment for me. I mean, a huge adjustment to getting used to that. You know, football Sundays start at what? They start at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
When the East Coast, I mean, that's weird, right? That would just be strange. Hell, the games in London, you got to wake up at the crack of freaking dawn to watch these games. All right, so that would just be strange for me to get used to that. I think that might be my I was telling my wife, that might be my biggest adjustment. It's not everything else, the heat and all that. I like the heat. I don't care. But getting used to all these games starting at these weird times, that would be strange.
Well, if you're taping spring training games, like you said, you taped yesterday's Yankee game or whatnot, I guess that's the way to get around it. But then it's not this really the same, especially watching a regular season game after the fact, you know? You try not to watch social media to see, you know, what happened.
That's the problem.
You're right. Big adjustment.
And nowadays, it's not so much recording the game. Anyway, we can all do that. It's easy. Mm-hmm. Right? You can do it from home. You can do it from your phone. You can record a game anywhere. But what's so much different is, man, you got to stay off everything, right? No more Twitter. You guys got to stay off Twitter or else you're going to find out the score, right? It's get away what your friend's telling you. If you're at work for that hour, are you listening to the radio on the way home? You know, they might say the score.
That's a biggest problem. On the 20s or whatnot. Yep.
Right. That's always the biggest problem is avoiding the score. I have no problem recording games. Let's face it, a three-hour baseball game, I like the fact that I can watch it in 40 minutes if I record the game. But not finding out the score, it's difficult, you know. And listen, I've been recording games forever. I ref hockey games at night sometimes, and this is all year long. So sometimes I'm taping those Yankee games, or I'm taping the Islander game, and it can be difficult not hearing the score from other people talking. You know, I don't tell anybody I do it because not that people are going to be jerks or tell me on purpose, but because I always believe that if I tell people I'm doing it, well, now it's in their head, and it's sort of subconsciously they might say it by accident. It's now the games, and even if they weren't thinking about the Yankees, now they are. And they'll save a score, talk about the game. So I never tell anybody what I'm doing, you know. But I record a lot of games as far as the teams I root for, because I did record the Yankee game yesterday. I watched it. I saw the first hour while Cam and I were doing the show. And I know it's spring training. I know the players. I don't even know the names at the end of the game. You know, I'm watching it on fast forward. Yeah, it didn't take very long. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably do the same today. I'll watch the first hour of the game while Cam and I are doing the show. And the last 2 hours, I'm going to the gym, so I'm not going to see the game. Then I'm probably going to take a nap after that, and I'll watch it later. You know, and I'll be able to avoid a score on Twitter. I won't go on Twitter until I'm done with the game. And as a fan, I just want to get accustomed to the games again. Yeah, I have the Major League Baseball Network on now, so there's another game going there. So it's just background fodder. I'm not truly paying attention. I'm not that nuts.
And, you know, in a way, like you mentioned score, but with a spring training game, you don't really care about the score getting spoiled. Like you said, it's just nice that you have it on in the background and whatnot. And you're right, by the end of the game, you hardly recognize any names there. But since we were talking Patriots and Robert Kraft, I plan on talking about Kershaw. We'll talk about him next segment, I guess. NFL handed out 32 compensatory picks to a total of 15 teams this past Friday, and Patriots were given 4 new picks, so they have 12 total selections in the 2019 NFL draft. So the NFL uses a formula to award these picks. Nobody really knows what the formula is, but a team that loses more or better free agents than it acquires in the previous year is eligible to receive compensatory draft picks. And like I said, nobody really knows the formula, but look, the Patriots are smart enough. Belichick is smart enough to you know, work the system. And I'm sure it doesn't happen every single year, but to have 12 total selections in the upcoming 2019 NFL draft. You know, people always say, you know, why? You know, how do the Patriots do it every year? They win. Of course, they got a quarterback in Tom Brady, who's the greatest of all time, and one of the greatest head coaches of all time as well. But it's not only that; it's just that the whole system. They just from top to bottom, whether it be their training facility and just the fact that the trades that they make, where they just accumulate draft picks. I mean, they're a machine.
Well, they are a machine. They're a well-oiled machine. I think it's Mike Blute and I were talking yesterday if the Robert Kraft thing is going to affect the Patriots. I doubt it.
Me too.
Yeah. You know, it's the owner. Yeah, it's just the owner. It's not like it's Bill Belichick, and you know, my coach is going to be suspended. You know, it's Kraft. I'm sure they care about him. I'm sure they like him. You know, that sort of thing. But I don't think this affects the team on the field all that much. And the fact that they get 4 extra picks, I mean, it's just amazing. it's scary. You know, I was playing the game with Mike Blewett yesterday. You know, Mike Blewett's a Pittsburgh fan. And what would it take for the Pittsburgh Steelers to accept trading Antonio Brown to the Patriots? I know they've already said they won't do it, and I don't think they will either. You really can't. But the Patriots would be the one team that could give them a first round pick because it's a 32nd overall. I don't care. And now, they may not care. And with all these extra picks, they give another pick. You could give them a first and a fourth. You know, Mike is like, no. Mike is just begging no. No, not that. Mm-hmm. I was having fun getting his gander there, but I don't think it'll happen either. But it lets you know but the moves they can make. The moves they can make. And getting Antonio Brown would be a New England move, by the way. You know, they took on Randy Morris when he was a malcontent in certain places, right? And he ended up being Josh Gordon in New England. Mm-hmm. No, that didn't really work out so well.
I know, but they still got him, though. I'm just saying that
they're not afraid.
Kind of move that they
they're
make.
Not yes. afraid. But listen, it's not going to happen. It's fun to talk about. Like I said, I enjoyed getting under Mike's skin yesterday, driving him crazy. But bottom line is, he's right. It's not going to happen. Mainly because Pittsburgh, their window to compete is shrinking quickly.
And
trading Brown to New England would be like, okay, yes, and here's another Super Bowl appearance for you. You know, good luck in 2019, probably 2020 as well, to see if you can get you can win the game again. Because let's face it, New England. I haven't seen their schedule yet, but I doubt they have another important game now until January of 2020. They're going to win that division. The division's still terrible.
Right.
So whoever they play with the divisional round, that'll be the most important thing.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll go back to some baseball. We still want to talk about Clayton Kershaw and his back issues. Listening to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, and Sean has done it, George. Found another Monkees tune. Kind of like a Muzak version of I'm a Believer. Now, this is a song that you had to have heard.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think Neil Diamond wrote it for them. Neil Diamond wrote a few Monkees tunes. But there's a classic. I don't know if you
now
agree
that. Now, this song's
been
stuck in my head
for
the rest of
the
damn day.
But you're a believer, right?
In?
Everything.
Well, no. No.
You believe in Clayton Kershaw?
No.
Clayton.
No, I do not.
Yeah. I tell you, I've been off of him for the past couple of years, you know, with the back issues and whatnot. And when he has been able to pitch, he's been Clayton Kershaw, let's face it, for the most part. But this recent little situation that took place where he felt uncomfortable, didn't feel right following his most recent bullpen session, very concerning for me. And they're going to shut him down for at least a few days.
Listen, when it comes to Kershaw, I'm a very conservative drafter, right? A very conservative drafter. And I don't like drafting guys who I know are going to get hurt. And with Clayton Kershaw, I know he's going to get hurt.
Yes.
I absolutely know he's going to get hurt. So why would I draft him? You know he's because when it comes down to this, when he gets hurt, guess whose fault it is? It's not yours.
Yours.
It's not the other people in the league. It's mine. It's my fault. I made the decision to draft him, and now it blew up in my face. Well, guess what? He's been hurt every damn year. He's already hurt now. He already has the elbow injury, shoulder, whatever it might be. I mean, really, what's your over-under on starts for him? Once again, a complete season is about 33 starts. What's your over-under for Clayton? 22?
I personally,
23?
Yeah. You read my mind.
25?
You read my mind with the 22, yeah.
So, listen, there's value. I never say that this player is off my list. I never say this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's value with everybody at a certain time. But his value, this is a first-round pick. Probably last year, and not certainly the year before that, he was always going in the first round. I don't think I can take him for round six.
Right.
So I think that's the ADP, I would grab him.
Yeah. His ADP right now, NFBC, is 38. And I expect it to drop
round
a
four.
Bit more. Yeah, yeah.
In a 12-team league, that's round four. I can't do that. And that's before this injury hit, by the way. So it'll certainly go down. For me, it's going to be round six. I mean, I look at it this way. Game started last 3 years, 26, 27, 21. I mean, you do the math there. That's an average. That's an average about 24, 25. He's already hurt now. And it's always bad when you're hurt now because I assume you get another injury during the season. You know, somewhere in July where you're hurt again. You know, we always need a 2-3 week break there. I mean, you said at 22. If I was a bookie, I'd probably make the over under at 23.5. You know, good luck with you there. You know, and I might bet the under there. So I can't draft this guy until I believe there's value. You know, I'm not drafting him to. I'm certainly not drafting him to make 30 starts. That's suicide. Yeah, right. Granted, you said it. When he pitches, he still pitches well. When he pitches.
Yes.
But, you know, now he also has to pitch. He's another guy. Average fastball
his
this
whole...
year was about 91. That's almost down 2 miles an hour from 2017. And his average fastball has gone down now 3 straight years. I mean, so, you know, it's taking its toll on him. I said this yesterday. You and I are Yankee fans. Now, I don't know how you felt, but I was very much afraid as a Yankee fan that when he became a free agent, the Yankees were going to throw oodles of money at him. And so when the Dodgers, you know, they extended him, I was like, yes. Yes, because I didn't want the Yankees to make what I thought would have been a huge mistake in signing Kershaw. So I'm glad that he's back with the Dodgers. But fantasy-wise, like I said, you could talk to me in round six.
Yeah, did not want the Yankees to pursue him, and you're right. It was like a little bit of a relief, but since we're talking Yankees, you know, they traded for James Paxton, who's another great pitcher, but just always seems to find his way for a stint or two on the DL. So at this point, I guess you'd have to trust Paxton a little bit more than you know, injury wise, than Kershaw. No.
Well, he's healthy now. That's a big help, right? Yeah. I mean, that's always a plus. Trusting Paxton. And I see where you're going with this. And I don't think you're wrong because he was another guy. Look at his last 3 years, 28, 24, 20. That's an average of 24 starts a year. You know, so he's almost in the same boat as Kershaw where he's going to miss some time. You know, now granted – one thing that's good about him, though, his numbers are going up. You know, when I said 28, 24, and 20, well, it's 20 starts in 16, 24 and 17, 28 last year. I'll sign up for 28 starts. I pretty much sign up for 28 starts from anybody. Anybody and everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with
you. That's what you want. I think that's what you want. His fastball velocity has pretty much stayed the same. You know, he had a high of 96.8. In 2016, last 2 years, it's been 95.4. And with 3 years before 16, it was actually 94 point whatever. So his velocity has gone up since then. But you'll take 95. You know, you don't need that. When I say these stuff, is the fastball velocity, to me, that's an indicator of wear and tear. When you see it keep going down, 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 I'm like, oh, God. You know, that's not good. You know, but he's his velocity seems to be fine. Where you're not really worried about any kind of injury there. But once again, starting pitching is tough. I don't think you can ever bank on a pitcher to make 30 starts anymore. If he does, God bless. You know, Max Scherzer, hey, fantastic. But for most players, you're really banking on the high 20s. That's why, like I said, anybody, if the Yankees get 28 starts out of him, Tanaka, Severino, you won't get it out of Sabathia. I can't remember who the fifth starter is right now. Well, I guess the fourth starter. But if you get 28 starts out of these guys, you're thrilled. Any team would be. This is not just the Yankees. If the Mets can get 28 out of Mats, Wheeler, Syndergaard, and DeGrom, they're thrilled. They're rolling over right now. They're flipping out thrilled. So that's what you want here. So I think with Paxton, there's more upside here. One thing you don't realize, Paxton's 30 years old too, though. He's not a young man either. You know, so there is some worry there. But for the Yankees for this year and next, I feel pretty confident in Paxton.
Yep. And I think the starter you missed on the Yankees might have been Happ, J.A. Happ.
Happ, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
No, he's the one guy I missed. You're right.
Yes, all right. So with the Dodgers, with Kershaw, I guess that, first of all, it obviously, you know, they're shutting him down for a few days now. That could turn into a little bit longer. And then that just sets him back even further where, who knows? I mean, this could end up being something where he misses, you know, time earlier in the season because you got to get your throws in. But, well, how do you feel about Walker Buehler, who's the next guy up? Pitched just 137.1 innings last year, 2.62 ERA, 0.96 whip. Do you think he's still going to be under any innings limitations? You know, maybe, I don't know, maybe 160, you know, or maybe the 175. You think that maybe just free reign on this guy, Walker Buehler? I'm liking him.
I like him as well. Am I worried about an innings limit? I think worried is probably too strong a word. It's in the back of my mind because if there is an innings limit, I expect there is. I said, I don't know the Dodgers organization offhand. I have to do some research to find out what their beliefs are. But for most teams, they do have, they do believe it. So 137 generally, if you believe in, I forgot the guy. The guy, I got the picture in my head of who he is, but whatever. It's generally a 40 innings per year, which puts him at, you said, at 175, between 175 and 180, 170 and 180. Well, that gets you, fantasy-wise, that gets you through to at least September.
Right.
You know, and listen, if the Dodgers want, if they wanted to pitch to the playoffs, they can make adjustments during the season. Maybe skip a start here or there. The All-Star break, you can give them a two-week break almost. And this way you get them through September into the playoffs. It can be done, you know, if they really want to. The Washington Nationals totally screwed this up years ago at Strasburg. They didn't take advantage of these opportunities, and they shut him down for the playoffs. And you know, I wonder if they regret that. Now a chance to do some damage there. So I don't think the Dodgers will make that mistake. That's what I'm trying to say here. So it is in the back of my mind, sure, you might lose a start here or there. Sure, during the All-Star break, that could be a problem. He's not starting you know, pretty much for 2 weeks while they give him a little rest there. So it certainly is in the back of my mind, Joe, but not enough for me to really change my draft thinking.
Maybe it
knocks him down a round. You know, if I was going to draft him in round five, okay, maybe now it's round six. But I think he's a damn good pitcher.
Yeah,
and he's a guy I do like. Once again, pitches in a pitcher's ballpark, which I always like. I said it before, going to play, you know, what, they played San Diego 19 times. They're going to play Giants 19 times. That could be 3-4 starts against each team. We're going to like that, you know. And then Colorado and Arizona, it does sort of offset the other two parks. But still, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of a Buehler here. So, yes, I do like the guy. But to answer your question, it's certainly – I always look – with young players, I do look at the innings to figure out, okay, what's going to be my problem here. And 180, I'm okay with. If you get a guy who's in the 160 range, you know, well, that's what I think his limit's going to be, that's a little bit more concerning because now you're talking maybe mid-August. You know, and then you have some adjustments to make. But another thing I'll tell fantasy owners is this. Yes, innings limit is annoying. It can drive you crazy. But you know what? You can fix that during the season, the fantasy owner, by making trades, you know, and trading, you know, you have to realize. It's like trade for anybody else who has good first and second half splits year after year. Well, you know you got to get rid of the guy eventually. All right? You trade Buehler, you could trade somebody else to get a pitcher who's going to pitch more. Or maybe, if Buehler gives you the kind of stats you want, you know, maybe you can sort of pick and choose when to use a middle reliever or a top setup man. They're available, and they'll protect your ratios. Yeah, you're not going to get your Ws and your strikeouts, but they're going to protect your ratios, and those could be valuable too in August and September instead of a Buehler if he is sitting for the Dodgers, which we don't know if he will be. So I think there are different ways to attack the problem of somebody like Buehler who may sit. Mm-hmm. But like I said, at 180 innings limit, you're not going to have to worry about this till probably first, second week in September, assuming he pitches the entire year.
Right. Well, another interesting part, and that's some good advice, George. Another interesting part about the Dodgers is, and you alluded to it, you know, they're a team that's expected to make the playoffs year after year. So, you know, they have to really manage it carefully as well because they want to have Buehler available during the playoffs as well. But that's some good advice that you gave just a second ago. And I'm just going to mention it. You put it in your back pocket, something that I saw. Cody Bellinger, who's first base and outfield eligible for the Dodgers, being held out of game action for now due to a back issue. Seems like it's more precautionary than anything. But just, you know, keep it, you know, in the back of your mind. I'm still going to be drafting him. personally. But why don't we talk Sonny Gray, former Yankee, traded to the Reds, now dealing with some elbow stiffness. You know, I kind of was, I'm not going to say, hey, draft him, you know, in your leagues. But he was a guy that was a little intriguing because, look, for the Yankees last year, put up some pretty bad numbers. But his home away splits last year, if you look at them, striking, right? At home, 6.98 ERA. Away, 3.17. The whip, 1.9 at home, 1.1 away. Part of last season, he was with the A's, if I'm not mistaken, right? It wasn't with the Yankees full for the full year. But, going to the Reds, not a very good pitcher's park, but hooking up with his old, I think it was his college pitching coach, Derek Johnson. This new pitching coach could remind them of, the old days when he was a more effective pitcher. Because, up until he got hurt, up until 2015 had put up some pretty good numbers. Then 2016 came up with some injuries, 5.69 ERA. But I find Gray is an interesting guy that you could get real late in draft. I mean, his ADP is 274 in the NFBC. That's like 18th round in a 15-teamer.
He's all yours. All right. Everything you pointed out was true. I can't argue with anything you said there. In his year and a half with the Yankees, he's a guy who seemed to look at the right field porch and go, oh, crap. They didn't let anybody pull the ball there, and it got in his head. Because you said it. On the road, he was fine. He was fine on the road, but at home, he was bad. He bad. He very bad.
Yeah.
That's guys who look at the porch and go, oh, man. Oh, God. And it's in their heads. It's just in your heads.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your head that I can't let this happen. What was ERA last year at home? 6.98. On the road, 3.17. Whip 1.9 to 1.15. I mean, that's extremely drastic. 6.8 mm-hmm. strikeouts at home for nine innings. 9.9 on the road. What the hell?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand the home run denying him being up. Of course, it is Yankee Stadium. The home run's going to go up here. But here's my problem. Mm-hmm. Where's he pitching now?
That's what I say, yeah. I agree with you. It's a tough ballpark in Cincinnati.
Yeah. The Great American Small Park. Good luck. Good luck. Listen. I can't see this working out well. If he had problems in Yankee Stadium, well, that was just the right field. What's got a problem now is Great American, where it's all over the place. Anywhere the ball's going out in Cincinnati. So I don't think that was a good place for him to end up. I understand his former coach was there, and that's why he's there. I imagine that's why Cincinnati went for him. But, man, it's not that I don't believe in Sonny Gray, but if I was Cincinnati or a team, Colorado, Texas, no, I'm not making a play for him. Boston, no. Because he needs to be in a normal ballpark. He probably does need to be in the National League, but not that ballpark. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh would have made more sense. Not Philadelphia, obviously the Mets, if they needed a pitcher. He needed to be in a big ballpark. So I'm surprised Cincinnati went for him. Not that they gave up a lot for him. When I heard that trade really for the Yankees was just to get somebody off, get a prospect who didn't need to be on the 40-man roster. That's what they did there. It's a decent prospect who didn't need to be on the 40-man, which is why they made that trade with Seattle after making the trade with Cincinnati, because the original prospect from Cincinnati did need to be on the 40-man, and the Yankees couldn't. They have 40-man issues because that's how deep their farm system is, that they didn't want to go for that. So bottom line is this. You want him, Joe? He's all yours.
He's all mine?
In a fantasy joke. All yours. You can take him.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I just, like I said, I'm not advocating that everyone should just run out and draft him. Just, I'm going to be interested to see how he looks in spring training, hooking up with his old college pitching coach. Maybe they could find some of that magic. Maybe he could find some of what has gone wrong for him. And you're right. It is concerning that he's going to be pitching in the Great American Ballpark.
I will gift wrap him for you.
Big Bo, right? Okay.
Big Bo, right, we'll have it or not have it. You can have a sunny day.
More fantasy baseball talk here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel.